program is brought to you in living color.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Okay. Here we go.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the guy whose name is in the title of the show. They were going to name the show the Betsy Goodwrench Show, but there is no Betsy Goodwrench, so that didn't work out. Then they said, Ron, what's your name? I said, Ron Van Dam. They said, no, that's not going to work either. But there you go. I'm finally starting to write my book. I've said for like 10 years now that I was going to sit down and write a book. I've written a book before about the absurdity of weddings, called Shut Up, I'm Walking Down the Aisle, available on Amazon, wherever good books are sold. And I thought it was time to write more of a philosophy, the world is screwed up kind of book. So I've been trying to do that for the past 10 years. Yesterday I made some headway. I didn't come up with a title, didn't really write any chapters or anything, but I'm pretty sure that my name is going to be on the cover of the book. And that's about as far as I've gotten so far. The other thing I did was when I sat down to start reading the book, I put on a pair of pants. And believe me, for me, that's a real start. They weren't nice pants, but there were two legs and everything. Wow. Wow. Oh my God. I think that everybody in their lifetime should sit down and write a book. It could be short. It could be like maybe 5 pages. I don't know. But if you sit down and you write about your life experiences, it's very cathartic. It's very revealing. And it's introspective. Nobody's going to care, but you will. So sit down and write your own book. Oh, God. Well, that was a waste of 5 minutes. Wait till you catch the rest of the show. Let's see how much time I can actually waste of your life. I think it's going to be more than 5 minutes, if you allow me to do so, of course, with your good graces, my lord. How are you there? Welcome to the program. Oh, gosh. All right, here's what happens on this show. You sit down and shut up, and I will take it from here. I will demonstrate to you how screwed up everything is around you, as if you didn't know that already. I'll give you the reason why. And you take it from there as best I could do. This doesn't cost you any money, so I don't know what you expect. I mean, if it was like 10 bucks to listen to the show, I'd have to really go out of my way to entertain you, and I just really never feel like that. But for free, what the hell do you want from me? God, you try doing this every single weekday for like 30 years. You try doing that and then tell me how you feel after, Mr. or Mrs. Person. Give me that crap. Talk back to me like that. I'll sass you. I was watching a video online, I think it was. I'm not even sure anymore. I have no idea. I don't even know what online is. Something was streaming in my face. That sounds like Trump in a Russian hotel, doesn't it? No, it was just, I was watching something online. I don't know what it was. and it was a couple in Russia or St. Petersburg or something. There was an apartment involved, and they were having dinner. The guy was cooking, and the girl was sitting on her laptop, you know, the usual stuff. And the guy in Russian, I think, says, I didn't know what the hell it meant. And she sat down, and they both started to have dinner, and he reached over to the front of the dining room table and picked up a bottle of ketchup. But it wasn't just any bottle of ketchup, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. It was a bottle of Heinz ketchup. Heinz ketchup. They're sitting in St. Petersburg, I think it was, in Russia, couldn't even understand what language they were speaking, had no idea what food was in front of them. But on the table, a bottle of Heinz ketchup. And I can't tell you why, but there was a feeling that came over me that we are all one. We have this grand connection. No matter what country you're in, no matter what kind of oppression may be involved in where you live, or dictatorship or democracy, I don't even know. I don't know what kind of car they drive. I don't know what kind of world they have. But everybody has a bottle of Heinz ketchup, except for you, right? And it's not humanity that makes us all one. It's not humanity that we're all in the same boat, and even though we're divided by culture and race and color and creed and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't matter. What bonds us is Heinz ketchup. We all have a bottle of it in our house. That's what makes us one. It's not Buddhism. It's Heinz ketchup. Now, there's always some prick somewhere who in their house has a bottle of Hunt's ketchup. What the hell's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Now, I've had Hunt's ketchup before. I'm not sure it tastes any different because it's just a condiment. I used to think when I was younger, when I was like 12, I thought a condiment was something that you put on your penis before you have sex, if you're a guy, of course. And then I realized, no, that's something else. You're confusing it. You're confusing the word. They sound alike, but they're very different. So I don't know who this is who has the Hunt's ketchup bottle on their table, but you're out of step. You're out of step, pal, because everybody's got Heinz, and that's what bonds us. It's the glue that bonds our society. Oh, my allergies are killing me. When I wake up in the morning, this portion of the program is called Who Cares, Ron? When I wake up in the morning, I have the most extreme allergies. My nose is running. I have itchy eyes. Well, other things itch too, but I won't talk about that. And by like 10 o'clock in the morning, it's like I'm perfectly fine. But something, I don't know what, I'm allergic to getting up. I think I'm allergic to starting my day. I think that's the problem. I have a severe allergy to doing things. It's always been like that. I know. Look, you're weird too, okay? All right? Can we just like start there? Okay. So I'm walking down the street yesterday, which I tend to do frequently. Otherwise, I'd never go anywhere. I was walking down the street, and, I call the segment, What Are You Wearing?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
So I'm walking down the street. I live in New England. Thank you very much. And it's getting cold here. In the daytime, it's like 50, 55 degrees. All right. It's not freezing out or anything like that, but it's colder than it was. Okay. It's like the fall, and we're getting close to the winter. Whatever. So I'm walking down the street, and I'm wearing pants. You know, I'm wearing pants and a light jacket. And this guy comes walking toward me. He's like walking his dog. And this is the way he's dressed, and this is where you leave me. The guy's wearing a heavy sweatshirt with the little drawstrings around the hood, you know. He's got the hood up. He's wearing a full, thick, long sleeve hooded sweatshirt. It's got the name of some godforsaken college on it. I can't read it. and he's walking down the street and he's all huddled up. But on the bottom of his body, he's wearing shorts. No socks and stupid sneakers. His legs are totally skin exposed to the outside. I felt like stopping him and saying, you're screwing with me, aren't you? Are you on purpose screwing with me? Because on the top of your body, from the belt up, from the waist up, we'll say, you're dressed like you're about to go into the Alaskan tundra or something. On the bottom, it looks like you're on a California beach and it's like 200 degrees outside and you're in a desert in Phoenix somewhere. What is going on with you, mister? What is going on with you? How can your body be split in half like that, where one half thinks it's summer and the other half thinks it's the dead of winter, and you dress accordingly? Are you making a fashion statement? Do you think you're cool or something? How can the bottom of you be so comfortable, yet the top of you be so freezing? There's something actually wrong with you. But I didn't say that. I didn't say anything because it's not my business. I don't. That's not my business. I don't make money from that. It's not my business. But that wasn't all. So I get in my car when I get back to the house, and I drive to the supermarket. I go to the supermarket every day because there's something wrong with me as far as that's concerned. I just love walking through supermarkets and buying food. It's a thrill. I like it. Okay, get off my back about that. So I'm driving to the supermarket. I get out of my car. I start walking toward the supermarket door. And coming toward me is another guy dressed in a sweatshirt with a hood like he's freaking freezing. But he's wearing little gym shorts on the bottom with his hairy legs exposed. And again, no socks. And I thought, is this a uniform? Am I running into people who are like in some type of strange cult and they got loose or they let them out for the afternoon? Is it the cult of freezing on top, very, very hot on the bottom? What is it with you people? What is it with you people? And I, to this day, I can't figure this out. I don't understand it. It's a thing. It's a thing. I can't do the thing because, A, my entire body is regulated with the same thermostat. Apparently other people not the case. And B, I think I look like a schmuck walking around with a hooded sweatshirt and my underpants, basically. See, now the difference between you and me is not the ketchup here at all. It's the fact that you don't care about that or you don't recognize that as being different. But I do, and that's the problem. I'm not on medication at all, by the way.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
I don't know what to tell you, man. I really don't. I don't know what to tell you. A lot of people live their lives by the horoscope. I don't. I think it's the stupidest thing in the world. I think it's like Ancestry.com. They're both stupid. They both have absolutely no meaning whatsoever. We attach meaning to it, and then we go hog wild crazy on it. I don't believe in horoscopes. I happen to be a Scorpio. I don't know what the hell the traits are. People tell me what the traits are. I don't care. You can't put me in a box because I was born in a certain month. What are you kidding me? What are you kidding me? I think the Chinese, the Oriental counterpart to me, actually does their charts by the year. Like if you were born in like 1983. Then you have the same traits as everybody born in that year. You are a rooster or you are a cock. I have no idea. You're a dick. I don't really know what it means, but it's just stupid. It just shows how stupid the whole thing is. However, there are some people that live their entire lives by what the horoscope says, and they get very, very concerned. And they start attaching things to it, like today is going to be a wonderful day. Your insecurities are going to go away. Oh, great! I have so many insecurities; they're all going to go away today. No, I just said that, you idiot, because I'm trying to entertain you. It's stupid. Even the horoscope people who do the horoscopes know that they're stupid. They know that. They know that. Yet, let's check yours out.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your monthly New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's see what the stars have planned for you. Aquarius, your life lately is the result of a lot of really questionable choices. I don't see that changing anytime soon, but I do see a lot of Mexican prison food. Pisces, watch out for your evil twin. Not the one you already killed, the one you weren't aware of. Aries, in your endless search for meaning, remember to check between the couch cushions. Taurus, you've got a career change coming. You probably weren't thinking about it and didn't know about it, but your bosses and coworkers certainly have. Remember, friolators get really hot. Gemini, bad sushi means a good lawsuit. Mazel tov! Cancer, chances are pretty good that you are going to get hit by a bus or a derailed train. Leo, don't stand too close to Cancer. Libra, romance is in the air for you. So is a raging STD, thanks to Miss or Mr. Right. Or both. Virgo, start saving now for your dream vacation. Looks like the money will go to bailing out your quote-unquote Uncle Freddy again, but it's best to plan ahead. Sagittarius, exposure to a leaky microwave at a chemical plant will give you superpowers. Or some kind of really bad tumor, not exactly sure which one right now. Sorry. Capricorn, you are about to make two new best friends, tequila and despair. So stock up on limes and Kleenex. That's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
Thank you, Kip. For the longest time, I was calling him Skip by mistake. But it's Kip. It's Kip. Kip Starchild. I think that his future was based in his last name pretty much when he was born. Here, you know, there's all different signs of the astrological chart. The one that I don't understand, and I'm sorry if I'm being insensitive to somebody, but if you were born under the sign of Cancer, the hell's up with that? What a horrible, horrible sign that is. I mean, come on. I'm a Scorpio. That's okay. That's like a little thing. Capricorn, fine. But what sign are you? Cancer. That's not good. That's like, that's a word I don't want near me in any way, shape, or form if avoidable. I wouldn't want it to be my astrological sign. I'd have to like get reborn again so I could change my sign. Can you do that? Do people actually get born again like when they're in prison so that they can change their sign? Is that what that is? I'm born again. Okay, whatever. You're not born again. You're kind of the same. You just like had a mind-altering experience because you're under some type of traumatic situation. I found Jesus. Well, that's great. Anyway, it is great. Whatever. Whatever makes you a better person. That's what I say, you know. It's not so much about you. It's how you affect me. That's all I care about, you know. That's all. I don't care if you're a better person or not. Unless I know you, then I do care, because you're going to treat me differently. But if I don't know you and I've never met you, the hell do I care? I got enough to worry about. And it's not important things either. I've got to worry about important things, things that aren't important. I got a lot to worry about, you know. I don't need your crap around me. That's when, you know, when you meet somebody and all they do is complain and they tell you how horrible everything is, you kind of feel like saying, okay, you know what? I'm filled to the brim with crap. Adding yours onto mine isn't going to make mine better. it's actually going to make everything worse. So let's just agree here that you go away and never come close to me again or say anything to me. Just go about your life, whatever, but just leave me alone because I'm filled. I'm like a parking garage. There's a sign out front. No space is available. We're full. Go park somewhere else. How about that theory? Okay, good. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I think I'm actually changing society as we speak. Anyway, we have a great guest coming up momentarily. I don't know how great the guest is. I haven't talked to the guest yet, so I'm just like speculating. It could be horrible. It could be devastatingly horrible. I don't know. That's the excitement that we both go through together. This could be a horrendously awful guest that we wish we never did this, but it could be fantastic and wonderful and full of information and actually change our lives. There's nothing in between. It's one or the other. So we do that right after we gather ourselves and get a little sophisticated here. Come on, come on, come on.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, refined entertainment for a sophisticated audience who sometimes enjoy a good fart joke.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Cynthia. How are you today?
I am terrific. How are you?
I'm great. Cynthia Sass joins us now. She's a registered dietitian and Opal Apple's spokesperson. We're talking about apples. It's the apple time of year, I guess, isn't it?
It is. It's actually National Apple Month this month.
There you go. It's the whole month. It's the whole month now. Soon it'll be apple year. You never know.
It should be apples all year because they're so good for you.
You know, when I was growing up, as far as I remember when I was growing up, I was told an apple a day keeps the doctor away, and that got slammed into my head for my whole life. Is that absolutely true? Well, it doesn't keep the doctor away. You should get a checkup annually, but is it true that apples are really that good for you?
There's a lot of truth to that for a number of reasons, but just a couple nutrients that pop out with apples. Number one, vitamin C. A lot of people don't think of them as a source of vitamin C, but they do provide that important nutrient, which is great for your immune system. Of course, it's cold, kind of cold and flu season, so we want to keep that strong. But also fiber. You know, most of us are only getting about 50% of the fiber that we need per day, minimally. Yeah. And one apple has 4 grams of fiber out of the 25 minimum that you should have for the day. So that's important for digestive health and also for fullness. You know, when you have that apple and you're chewing it, filling you up, it can help displace other less healthy foods that you probably shouldn't be eating. Mm-hmm. You know, according to the CDC, only 10% of Americans are eating the minimum recommended 5 cups of produce a day. So 90% of us are falling short of that important target. And grabbing an Opal apple is a very simple way to help fill that gap. And because apples are very versatile, you can eat them as is, or you can incorporate them into a number of different recipes.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like it's pretty good. Okay. I guess eating apples raw would be the best way of consuming an apple. Is that make sense? I mean, I know there are plenty of recipes and we're going to get into that, but is that the best way of getting the nutrients?
Not necessarily, because number one, with the fiber, it doesn't break down when you cook the apple.
Oh.
So if you're sauteing it or baking it, you're still going to retain that.
Oh.
So that's great. And then the antioxidants are also another component that will be available both cooked and raw.
Cynthia, I didn't know that. I'm glad you came along because I had no concept that
then you can enjoy those cooked apples without worrying about losing the nutrients.
All right, let's talk about the cooked apples because we're coming up on what I call national pie season, where every pie's got apples in it, and there's a varying amounts of pie, and I get kind of scared of it because that kind of represents a lot of sugars. Is there a way to have an apple pie that doesn't involve tons of sugar?
I have a couple different ways for you, but I'll tell you one that I think is really interesting twist. I have a recipe I developed. I had a lot of fun developing recipes with the Opal apple. I developed 10 different ones, and my favorite by far is the hot apple pie smoothie. So So it is a warm smoothie. Most of us are used to having our smoothies chilled.
Yeah.
But in this case, you take the smoothie ingredients, you transfer the blended smoothie to a saucepan and warm it up, and you drink it hot.
Oh.
And so it is like liquid apple pie. It is delicious, but it's very healthy. So you're not getting all the sugar and the crust and the carbohydrates that you would in a traditional pie. And then I also developed a mock apple cobbler. So in this case, instead of a pie, you're going to be sautéing the sliced apples on the stovetop and then topping with a crumble topping that's very simply made with some almond butter, some rolled oats, a little bit of maple syrup, and some cinnamon. So you get that same sensation of the pie,
yeah,
but without, again, all that extra sugar and calories.
That's very cool. And you don't have like huge amounts of it either. It's just
And it is very filling too. So a smaller portion, even, you know, one whole apple is actually quite filling, and one whole apple only has 80 calories.
Wow. Okay. What about in the lunchbox, for example? I used to slice the apple and it would turn like brown a little bit later. How do you preserve that?
So my favorite thing about the Opal apple, it is the only non-GMO, non-browning apple on the market.
What?
So it's naturally non-browning.
What?
So you can slice it ahead of time. You can pack it in your lunch or bring it to work, and it will not brown. And it's gorgeous. It has a very distinct, crisp texture. It's yellow, gorgeous in color, but also has a sweet and tangy flavor. So if you want to dip it into almond butter, you want to dip it into hummus, it's very versatile in that it goes well with both sweet and savory. But that's really nice that you have a naturally non-browning apple that isn't going to give you that kind of brownish sort of off-putting color that sometimes people, you know, will get turned off by. And it's just beautiful.
That's amazing. Is it found only in the Himalayan mountains or something? I mean,
no, they're grown in Washington State. And it's a funny story that they weren't really setting out to create a non-browning apple. It's a hybrid between a Golden Delicious and a Topaz.
Oh.
And it just so happens that they found that it does not brown. So it's a naturally non-browning.
Wow. Where do I find an Opal apple?
Well, you can go to opalapples.com, and there is a finder on that website to let you know which store you can find them in your area. And so most people should probably hop on there, and that the recipes that I developed will also be available on that website.
Wow. I have a feeling I might be able to lose a little bit of weight and be a little bit healthier if I enter into this realm of Opal apples.
I love them, and they're also non-GMO project verified, so that's great to know for people who really are very interested in non-GMO products, that it's a really, really unique apple, and I've had a lot of fun working with them, and of course eating them, because they're quite delicious as well.
It sounds like the miracle fruit here. If I rub it on my hair, will I grow hair?
Yeah. Great. Bathe in it. Shampoo your hair with it.
It's the new CBD. Okay. All right. So we go to opalapples.com. That's O-P-A-L apples.com. And I'll tell you something. I'm going to at least try it and probably get hooked on it. And then I can eat apples instead of junk food. This might be good for me.
Sounds like a great plan. I love it.
Fine. And we can get some recipes on that website as well?
Yes, plenty of recipes, including I created that mock apple cobbler,
yes,
the apple pie smoothie, but also even savory ones. Like I have a chickpea salad with a lemony vinaigrette. Mm. I have apples with cabbage. I even have an apple teeny, a martini.
Now you're talking.
There you go.
All right. Guess who's immediately going to your website now? Okay. Opalapples.com. And thank you so much for your time today, Cynthia Sass.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for hanging out with me, so to speak. That's not physically what you've done. This is like a mental thing that we're doing here. We're doing nothing physical, by the way. All mental. All mental. There's nothing to see here. Move on. Go home. There's nothing to see. It's not a video. Let's stop that. Starting, by the way, in January, we're going to be doing live streaming programming video-wise, so you can watch me sit here and talk. I don't know why that would be exciting to you. It's a lot more complicated and a lot more stuff that has to go on my side. For you, who cares anyway? Who cares? Who cares? Will you come back tomorrow and we can spend some more time together? Will you do that? No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Answer me now. Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. All right. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.